You'll notice in your worship bulletin in the center, there is a little section called Surfing Scripture. I want to direct your attention there and let you know that these are your verses for next week. You've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, throughout the week. I want to encourage you, read through God's Word. Take those verses each day. Let the Lord speak to you as you read. And then we'll surf through them as we meet together at these different times. And so right now, turn with me. We'll look at some of last week's verses on Thursday and Friday's readings. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 39. And if you're new at this, you just open your Bible right in the middle and turn to the right a little bit. You'll see Isaiah and then you'll see Jeremiah. Jeremiah 39. In 39, look at verses 16 through 18. Jeremiah had been confined to the courtyard here, we see in 15, and the word of the Lord came to him, "Go and tell Ebed-Melech, the Cushite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I am about to fulfill my words against this city through disaster, not prosperity. At that time, they will be fulfilled before your eyes. But I will rescue you on that day, declares the Lord. You will not be handed over to those you fear. I will save you. You will not fall by the sword, but will escape with your life because you trust in me, declares the Lord." That's the way to escape God's discipline, disaster, because you trust in me. It's black and white. Trust the Lord. Go His way. Then look at chapter 40. Look at verses 2 and 3. When the commander of the guard found Jeremiah, he said to him, "The Lord your God decreed this disaster from this place, and now the Lord has brought it about. He has done just as He said He would. All this happened because you people sinned against the Lord and did not obey Him." Our sin always brings disaster. Sin always makes a mess of things, doesn't it? Then look at chapter 41. Look at verse 8. "But 10 of them said to Ishmael, 'Don't kill us. We have wheat and barley, oil and honey hidden in a field.' So he let them alone and did not kill them with the others." This man had gone on this rampage, killing all of these people with his men. And they had just finished killing 80 more and throwing them all into this cistern. No regard for life whatsoever. And it reminded me as I went to the Save a Life banquet this past Thursday night. This man had no value for life. He valued those people's possessions more. They said, "Well, we have barley and wheat and things." And he didn't care about their lives. He was ready to kill them. No value for life. He'd rather have some of that barley and wheat. Do we ever value anything more than life? What about the unborn? Look at 42. Look at verse 11. "Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you now fear. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord. For I am with you and will save you and deliver you from his hands." What do you fear? In your area of obedience, maybe the Lord wants you to do something. Maybe you fear obeying him in some area. Hear his voice this morning. "I am with you. Don't be afraid. I am with you and will save you and deliver you." Just obey. Just obey in the face of fear. And then turn over to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, that's in your New Testament if you're new at this. That's that last third of the Bible. You'll see Matthew, Mark, and Luke. As you look at Luke, look at chapter 1, verse 17. And he will go on before the Lord, this prophesying. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Oh, that's a word we need in our day, isn't it? That's a word that I need. That God will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. We need that. We need that. Look at verse chapter 2. In chapter 2, you hear it a lot around Christmas time, but hear it now in verses 10 and 11, this incredible call from the angel. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." We all need a Savior. We need a Savior from sin. We all are under the penalty of death and hell. We need a Savior from sin and its penalty. And we need a Savior from everything. Somebody who will deliver us from all in life, all that we go through. We have one. Praise the Lord. And then back in Psalm 122, back to the middle of your Bible and back just a little bit in Psalm 122. Listen to these first couple of verses. You don't have to turn there with me. "I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem.'" Well, that's you this morning. You're here in the house of the Lord, worshiping Him. Well, turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And while you're there, you may want to hold that spot and look for Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. But right here in Ephesians chapter 5. You know, we mentioned it this morning. He's given all for you. And we have a visual picture that you just picture a cross. Anytime you see a cross, just imagine Jesus dying for you. He gave all for you. Are you saying back to Him, "All for you, Lord"? In response to what He has given for you, do you look back at Him and do you say to Him, "All for you, Lord"? I'm yours, Lord. That's the call of God on your life. Listen to Romans 12, verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy," in view of God's mercy. So when you picture that cross and you see that bloody Jesus paying for your sins, dying for you so that you can live forever, so that you can have the abundant life, so that you can have eternal life. When you look at that cross and you see Him suffering and dying, having mercy on you when you don't deserve it and you haven't earned it, that's His mercy. Well, with that in view, keep that in view, keep that cross in view. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." This is your spiritual act of worship. In response, offer your body. Your body, that encompasses your whole life, all that you are, all that you have. Your body, that's you. Offer your time, offer your talents, offer your treasures, your resources. Offer everything to Him as an offering. And you want to be like Abel, and you don't want to be like Cain. Here's two men that made an offering to the Lord. They wanted to give an offering to God. Well, Abel gave his offering out of love. And he searched out his stuff and he gave God the best of what he had. He gave God his first and his best. That's how he felt about God. He loves God. So he gave it to him. Don't be like Cain. God wasn't pleased with Cain's offering. Cain made an offering. You can come here and make an offering. You can offer your time in some way. You can offer your talents. You can write a check in some way. But don't do it like Cain did it. You see, Cain just gave from his leftovers. He just gave some of what he had. He said, "Here you go, Lord." That's how he felt about the Lord. He didn't give his highest and his best out of love for the Lord. He gave some of what he had. Gave the Lord some. God was pleased with Abel, not with Cain. In Romans 8:1, it says, there's this law of sin and death that is upon all of us. This law of sin and death. But God has given us Jesus Christ. And the Spirit, His Spirit sets us free from that law of sin and death. In response, offer your body as a living sacrifice. You see, we bring living sacrifices to the Lord. Throughout the Old Testament, people would make offerings to the Lord. They'd bring sacrifices. The sacrifices for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. And people would bring different things that they had. They would bring their animals. The animals, the life would be taken. But you see, God offered a once and for all sacrifice. God gave us the greatest lamb that could ever be given for all sin at all time. God gave us Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and He sacrificed Him on our behalf. And Jesus came and He gave His life. And now we can offer our bodies as living sacrifices. You can step up on the altar and instead of bringing an animal, you can offer yourself. Since Jesus gave His life for you, you can step on the altar and say, "Well, God, here I am. Here's me. Take all of me. I'm yours. Do with me whatever you will. Whatever you want." And we're called to do that daily. As Jesus said, if you want to follow Him. As Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We have to keep on doing it. We have to keep on climbing up on that altar and saying, "Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. I'm yours. Take all of me. I give myself to you." And in one area specifically, of course, God calls us to the whole. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. But just look at this area of time. God has entrusted you with some time. As far as you know, you're here today. You have today, as far as you know. You're not promised tomorrow. He knows the number of your days, He tells us in Psalm 139. He knows them all. We don't know when that last one's coming. This could be it. But as far as we know, we've got today. So He's entrusted you so far with a certain amount of time today. And hopefully, He'll bring us through to the end of today and He will have entrusted us a whole day of time. And you see, He calls us to be a wise steward, to be a good manager of His time. You see, our times are in His hands, God tells us in the Psalms. It's His time. He doesn't have to give any of it to us, but He chooses to allow us to have some time. And each day that He gives you a gift and He entrusts a day to you, a period of time, we have that responsibility of how we use it, how we manage it. And so, look here in Ephesians 5, He gives us some advice. He tells us what to do in 15 through 17. He says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You see, it's His time. Our times are in His hands. It's His time that He's entrusted to us. What kind of a time manager are you? How are you doing? How do you do with the time that He's entrusted you with? How do you manage it? What kind of a steward are you being with the time He's entrusted to you? Do you use it wisely? Or do you waste it? Or do you use it in the wrong way? Well, God's call here is to use it wisely. God's call here is to be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. I want to stop and pray. Father, we just ask, Lord, teach us from Your Word, Lord. By Your Spirit, would You pierce each of our hearts, Lord. By Your Word, Lord, would You speak to each of us. Get me out of the way. We need to hear from You. We pray it in Your name, Jesus. Amen. What kind of a time manager are you? If you're following Jesus, how are you spending your time? Don't carelessly live life. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just let time pass and do nothing with it. You see, He says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. So God says, don't ever let the time pass. He says, He didn't even say, be careful how you live. He said, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. How do you spend your time? If you're a follower of Jesus, then the goal is to find out, Jesus, how do You want me to spend my time? In each and every given moment, Lord Jesus, what do You desire? That's being a living sacrifice. That's saying, I'm on the altar, Lord. What do You want to do with my time? I'm Yours. This is Your time. You just tell me. I'll just go do it. That's entrusting all of your time to Him. And you see, you never saw the disciples. He didn't ask the disciples, well, what do you want to do today, guys? What do you guys want to do today? All right, let's go. Let's go do it. Now, he didn't follow them. You see, he would seek the Father. He went to the Father and he found out how to spend the time. And then he went about doing it. And then they could follow if they wanted. Any of us can follow. You see, He's doing the same thing today. By His Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ is just as alive and well and active and working all around you in every little detail of your life and way beyond you and all over this city and all over this church and all over your school and all over your workplace and all over the places you recreate and all over this world. God is working continuously. Jesus is active. He's moving. He's going around. And you know, He doesn't say to you, hey, what do you want to do today? If you're a follower of His, the goal needs to be being on the altar and saying, Lord, I want to be very careful how I spend this time, how I live this day. Where are we going today, Lord? What are You doing today, Jesus? What have You got going on? What are we doing? I want to be a part of it. I want to be on the agenda today. I'm Your servant, Jesus. I'm Your disciple. What's going on today? What do we have? Be very careful is the first takeaway today. Be very careful. You ever seen me and you ever seen these deacons handle this grape juice at the Lord's Supper? Are you pretty careful when that grape juice comes by in that tray and it comes down your aisle and you can see it pass from person to person and then it's your turn to hold it all? That's what it is to be very careful. That's what you're to do with your time. You're not to let a moment pass if you're a follower of Jesus. You're to be like that grape juice tray. You're to be saying, Lord, I want to be very careful how I spend this time that you're entrusting to me. And then what's the next point? Well, Lord, I want to make the most of it. I want to make the most of it. Some translations say redeeming the time. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time. Lord, help me to be very careful because I want to make the most of it. Lord, I want to redeem it. What does that mean? To redeem something is to pay a price to set it free. So you need to pay a price to set the time free. What? Set the time free from what? Well, we see that in the next verse. We need to set the time free from evil. You see, by default, time goes to evil. That's why we have to be very careful how we live. If you just let the time pass and you just go through the motions, it will go to evil. It's the default. That's the natural way. That's the way time goes. Unless you take it, take hold of it, and use it for the Lord and choose it for the Lord, it'll go to evil. You see, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. 16, making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. We need to redeem the time. We need to pay a price to set the time free from evil. Because if we just let it go, if it just naturally goes, it'll go to evil. And so the world will take our time. Our own flesh, we'll just do what we desire if we're not careful. You see, the evil has our time. It's held captive by evil. If you just let it go, it goes to the evil. And so we need to pay a price. We need to pay the high price to set the time free from the clock and your planner and the calendar and the world and the influences of the world. And you've got 50 people pulling at you in every direction. You've got all kinds of needs around you. That's the world. You see, if you just let it go, everything will take your time. The clock, the calendar, the world, your own flesh, your own worst enemy. You'll misuse the time. You'll mess it up. You'll waste it. The world, your own flesh, and the devil. The devil's got the time. He'll use it how he wants. And so we need to set the time free from all these things. The clock, the calendar, the world, the flesh, the devil. Set the time free from that and bring it over here and use it for His glory. Spread it out before the Lord and say, Lord, here's my day. I'm not going to let it be used for all these things. I'm going to pay the high price of looking to you and seeking you, Lord, just like Jesus did. Seeking you on how to use the time. Lord, before this day has a minute passed in it, Lord, I'm paying the high price to set the time free from this evil. And before a minute passes in this day, Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm saying, Lord, I spread this day before you. Thank you for entrusting me with a day. Lord, I want to put it before you and I want to say, I want to use it for your kingdom, for your glory. I want to make the most of every opportunity. You see, the day is nothing more but a continuous series of opportunities. An opportunity to do this and that and this. Opportunities, that's all the day holds. You have an opportunity. What's going on right now? You have an opportunity to worship. You can be distracted by your friends. You can let other things distract your mind. But you have an opportunity right now to worship, to focus on the Lord. Are you making the most of the opportunity? Time is nothing but a continuous pattern of opportunities. And so, Lord, before this day gets started, I'm coming to you. I'm going to set the time free from all that stuff it'll go to if I don't do this. I'm coming to you and I'm saying, Lord, just like Jesus, very early in the morning, Lord, how do you want me to spend this day? What do you have for me, Lord? I'm going to you first and foremost before any of that stuff tries to grab me. Lord, what do you have? What's on the agenda? Where are you going today, Jesus? What's going on? How can I be a part of it? What's your assignment for me today, Lord? I'm your servant. I'm your disciple. Ready for my assignment, Lord. And of course, we live that way throughout the day, but that's being very careful. That's being very careful. And that's making the most of every opportunity. That's redeeming the time. That's paying the high price of looking to the Lord and seeking Him and planning, letting Him plan for you. And planning Lord, that's making the most of that opportunity. And how do you do it? By what? So, be very careful. Make the most, or redeem. Be very careful with your time. Just like those juice trays. Make the most of every opportunity. Redeem it. Buy it up. Make the most. You know how to make something. Allison just made cookies last night. She had to put effort into it. She had to look at that. Well, she knows that recipe, I think. But she had to get it all together and put everything, the right ingredients, do all these things. Get it all together and put it in the oven. And she had time, effort, energy. And she made the most. You know what it is to make things. Make the most of every opportunity. You have all these opportunities throughout the day. God says, make the most of everyone. How do we do that? We go to Him. We find out what He wants in each opportunity. What do You desire, Lord? And that's how we do it. How do you make the most of your time? How do you make the most of every opportunity? By understanding His will. So that's our final point. Understand His will. Understand His will. So with your time, not only do you need to be very careful how you spend it and make the most of it and redeem it, pay that high price and set it free from the evil, cast it before the Lord, use it for Him, let Him plan it, let Him give you what to do and walk that way through the day, and then understand His will. You make the most of the opportunity by understanding His will. We see that in verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish. So it's foolish not to understand His will. It's foolish just to go through and let the time pass, not knowing God's will, not knowing what He wants. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand His will. Know His will. Seek Him out. Find out what it is. And you know, in a general sense, we know a lot of His will. In a general sense, we know that it's His will. Acts chapter 2 is His will that we be devoted to His Word, to the apostles' teachings. That's the Word of God. Are you devoted to the Word? We know it's His will to be devoted to the fellowship, to each other, to get together, to be here when the doors open. So why? Because we're devoted to each other, so we can be together as much as possible. Be devoted to the fellowship. Be devoted to the Lord's Supper. We have that. At different periods of time, make sure you have the Lord's Supper. To be devoted to prayer. Are you a man or a woman of prayer? We know these things are His will. To love Him. Here's we know this is His greatest will. His greatest command is to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So above everything else that you do in any given day, let that be the main thing as you go through that day. Love Him. We know that's His will. Love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And make disciples. That's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. We're following in the steps of Jesus. That's what He did. We're making disciples. We're helping people to know Him and grow in Him. That's His will. So we know His will. We understand His will in that perspective. Then in the smaller area, you need to be very careful and seek Him out. Depend on His Spirit. Let Him guide you. Let Him lead you. Have those times alone with Him where you can hear and be very careful and make the most of every opportunity. So I hope this morning that you will say, I want my time to be the Lord's. I acknowledge here this morning that it is His. I have no control over my life. I can only have another few hours if He allows me to have it. It's all His. My times are in His hands. And it's up to Him if He gives me any more of it. But what He does entrust me with, it's His. Do you acknowledge that this morning? Do you say, and Lord, I want my time to be yours. I know it's yours, and I come to you and I surrender all to you. I put myself on the altar. I'm a living sacrifice for you, and I will continue to be your living sacrifice. I acknowledge that this time is not mine. It's yours, and I've been entrusted with it. And so, Lord, I want to do what you say with it. I want to be very careful with every moment that you entrust me with. I want to make the most of every moment you entrust me with. Every opportunity, I want to make the most of it. Just like putting effort into making cookies, I want to make the most of every opportunity. I want to redeem that time. I want to pay that price of setting the time free from the clock, the calendar, the world, my own flesh, the devil. I want to take it and I want to bring it before you continuously, Lord. And say, I want your vision, Lord. Give me your revelation. I want your wisdom. I want to know your will. And I'll make the most of every opportunity by understanding your will, Lord. Show me your will. Show me your will. I'll do it. Pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this gift of time. Lord, we thank you that as far as we know, we have it right now, Lord. As far as we know, we have today. Lord, teach us to not waste it. Teach us to be wise stewards of your time, Lord. The time that you entrust us with. Teach us to be very careful how we live. To make the most of every opportunity. To understand your will continuously. Lord, help us in that. And Lord, for some here this morning, Lord, they know that it is your will that they come into a relationship with you. Lord, we know that if there's someone here who does not know you yet as Lord and Savior, Lord, all their time is a waste. Until they know you, until they have that relationship with you, it's all wasted. And so, Lord, help that person to acknowledge their need right now and to say, Jesus, I need you. I have sinned against you. I am a sinner, Lord. And I've heard about your mercy this morning. I thank you that you went to that cross. You paid for my sins. I believe, Jesus, that you're the Son of God and you're God in the flesh who came. And you came to die for my sins. And you've taken all my sins upon yourself. I believe that. And you died and you suffered and you took my punishment. I thank you for that, Jesus. And I believe you're raised from the dead. And Jesus, I call on you right now and I ask you to save me. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. I trust you. Just like I trust in an airplane and get on it to take me to point A to point B. Lord, I trust in you to get me to heaven. Lord, I put my faith in you. Lord, I pray that you speak to each heart here. And Lord, help each of us to be wise stewards of all of our time. To do all that you command us to do and to use our time for your glory, for your kingdom, to cast it before you and let you guide us, let you plan it out. Help us. And Lord, maybe there are some here this morning that just want to commit to that. Maybe there are some that during this song, Lord, that they will spend their time just praying and saying, God, I've wasted too much of my time. I've been thinking of it as my time. I've been using it how I want. I've been wasting it, Lord. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. I come before you right now and I say, I want to use every other moment that you give me for the rest of my life. I want to use it for you. I offer myself to you as a living sacrifice. I give you all that I am, all that I have. I'm yours, Lord. Direct my time. Lord, maybe there are some that believe you're calling them to join this church, that this is the fellowship. They know they need to be connected to a fellowship, a body of believers, because we know that's your will and your plan. We'd be a functioning member of the body of Christ. And Lord, maybe there are some here who don't have that place yet. They don't have that place to be a member of the body. And Lord, maybe you're touching their heart. And Lord, speak to them. If it's your will that they connect here and join this body of believers, help them to do that as Chris leads us in this song. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.